Welcome. I feel fine. Today's date is Thursday, 25th of September in the year 2008. You're listening to TIU Radio, theinfounderground.com. I'm your host, Ogner. We'll be joined very shortly by a special guest, returning guest, Daryl Bradford Smith from IamTheWitness.com, and we're going to have a little chat about what's going on, whether it be financial, the wars, the elections, medical. We're going to see what goes on. So a little bit more music, and I'll be back with Daryl. I'm joined by my very special guest, Daryl. How are you doing?
Very, very well, Ogner. It's great to be back again for another installment here of your Information Underground radio show. I have to let the people know that we talk from time to time, and one of the ways that I think getting this information out is for having somebody like yourself who handles a forum and sees a lot of questions, to have you transmit many of the questions you read about or see to me so that I can be more pointed in some of the explanations that I give.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Daryl, listen, I don't know where to start. I mean, what a week. There's this magic number going around 700 billion, but I know I've been listening to people like yourself and Rafik, and now checking out other works, whether it be audio or written books or written articles by other people. I mean, now all of a sudden we have people jumping on and saying, it's not going to be enough, and I don't even know, this money isn't real anyway. What do you make of this? I watched on TV about 5 minutes ago. We have Obama and McCain, these two stooges, Israeli firsters. So Israel is guaranteed a result now in November or in January, whenever you want. They have agreed in theory to the bailout. What do you make of all this?
Well, first of all, $700 billion wouldn't even come close to handling the kinds of problems if handling private debt was the right thing to do, which it's not. But $700 billion certainly is not going to be able to do that. $700 billion is basically to go to counterparties who are stealing the family silverware. On the way out the door, before the country goes belly up and things no longer function correctly in America, this is their last theft, their last-ditch effort to steal. Many of the monies that are going to be taken from that $700 billion are going to go to counterparty requirements, which are debts that are out there on paper, fraudulent debts in many instances, some of them from hedge funds, some of them from credit derivatives, some of them from swaps, some of them from all kinds of different instruments. But essentially, they're stealing the family silver, and they're running for the exits with it. And this is their last scam before they shut the place down. The other side of it is this. They look to be monetizing the American debt in a short time. I mean, they've already been doing it at some level by printing money in an inflationary mode. But monetizing the amount of debt the Americans have would require the printing presses to really get warmed up. I'm talking about they would have to quadruple the amount of printing they're doing right now. Right now it's running between 18 and 22% per year. I think what they really got planned is to make the debts that they owe outstanding in the world worthless by printing so many dollars that the people who are owed this money don't receive any of it back. And that's why the $700 billion is important, because they're going to steal that up front while the dollar still has value. Once they get their $700 billion, they'll be able to convert that quickly over the next weeks into hard assets. They'll be out of the dollar, they'll have received a kickback, and then they'll monetize. And what everybody's who's left with debts to be received by the dollar will be getting weakened dollars quickly. I would guess within 6 months to a year, you're going to see the money supply jump by 40-50% when they start monetizing the debt. And what will happen is everybody who's receiving dollars at that time for the debts that they owe, I mean, for the money they're owed, will be getting worthless dollars for it. So, and that's why they're doing the upfront theft of $700 billion right now, because they figure that's as much as they can steal without it crushing the value, so that when they go out into the world in the next few weeks, they can convert it to Swiss francs, the euro, or to gold, or to some other asset, and then they'll jump back and they'll watch everybody else get stuck with worthless dollars. That's my take on it, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it's I was watched a bit of the only, you know, only real TV channel out there, Fox News, last night, and they were selling this plan to the American gullible public. They were saying, you know, well, this is for the $700 million, but we're actually going to get some assets, and we might be maybe the Federal Reserve can sell them on later on. But it's amazing that, you know, the way they're trying to sell it to this gullible Fox News dumbass American, I don't know what they call it. Darryl, listen, I think we've lost America. I think America is a lost cause at this stage. It's very worrying for the, you know, for the ongoing financial mess that will spread to Europe and Asia and the rest of the world. But I don't think there's anything that can save America.
Well, you know, I agree with you. America can't be fixed at this point. It's too broken. However, I don't think Europe's going to be saved either. So I would be very leery of thinking that Europe is going to sail past this mess, or Africa, or South America, or Asia. Nobody's going to get past this mess. Absolutely. You're going to see draconian police states pop up globally. The fact is, the United States it has been slated for this destruction for 35 years. They've been working at degrading all of the ways you could possibly resist this ultimate outcome. But, you know, the goal is to implode the country, convert it over in the next decades or two into a police state where they can grow up out of the American public a controlled economy that is very socialist in nature. Nobody owns their house anymore. Everybody stuck there has a slave-type labor job. The ne'er-the-wells and the useless people will be rounded up into FEMA camps. Farmers will be run off their land and their farming will be mechanized. You know, America will be the borders will go up, people won't enter or leave. It'll be, you know, a similar kind of lockdown as everyone saw in the 1918 through 22 period in Russia when it became the Soviet Union. And you'll also see the same kinds of draconian events taking place where they are purposely starving populations or wherever there's resistance. Let's say, for example, the Idaho, Montana, Wyoming region where there's a lot of people that own guns and they live out in their countryside, fight back against the government. And what will happen is that region will be targeted to not receive fuel, food, clothing, shelter, anything. And what it will receive is the ire of the central government. Thus, over a period of maybe 2 or 3 years, it will destroy the resistance that's there. Other parts of the country are just going down the tubes. I got to tell you, this was predicted by myself and many others. I did more detailed predictions on this mess than about anybody on earth. It's interesting to read people talking about it now, saying the things I said back in December and January. Mm-hmm. There are a few people out there who got it right, and they should be lauded. Now, there's no excuse for people not knowing what to do next. I mean, we could talk about that in a minute, but I hope that answers your question, Agner.
Well, Darren, what should people be doing? Let's continue this going.
Well, look, first of all, you've got to be as independent from others as possible, meaning you've got to be able to set up systems within your own life and that for your family where you can have a source of exchangeable income, such as, you might be doing some bartering, so make sure that you have people in your family begin to concentrate on jobs they can do that may be in demand. I'll give you a good example. If you had a German Shepherd at home, a male, you might want to find a female in your neighborhood and say to the other person, look, let's have puppies, and we'll sell the pups for money because people are going to want German Shepherds when this mess really happens because they're going to want to protect their property. That's one example. I mean, I'm pulling that one off the top of my head. You might want to start growing a garden that has a surplus enough that you could trade for, let's say, fuel or light bulbs or, hygiene stuff, bars of soap, whatever it is, and begin to put systems in place within your life that you're going to rely upon over the next 18 months to 36 months. I believe it'll take at least 36 months before we see a clearing of any type. Whether or not we're completely locked down by then, I can't guess at. I mean, I'm anticipating the American public is going to revolt against this, and some of them will at least. The non-fluorinated brains will try to stop it. But, there are other things. Growing a victory garden, of course, not going into new debt.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff. Selling that extra car if you can find somebody to buy it right now. All kinds of little things you can be doing aggressively to get ready for this because you only have probably 6 weeks to do it. So other things you could do, get a wood stove of some kind, buy a supply of coal for your house.
Yeah.
In France, coal stoves are still used regularly out in the countryside here. So, you can get a delivery of coal pretty cheap. It's a lot cheaper than oil. You can get wood delivered to your house. Start splitting wood instead of using oil. Don't make double trips to any place. Get every trip together all at once. Do your trips once or twice a week. Carpooling again. No new clothes, no new shoes. Just cut back on everything. And if you've got any extra, buy silver. Now, somebody wrote me, they were all mad at me. I think you told me he posted on your forum that he was mad that his gold went down and that he was looking to make money at it. I got to be clear about gold recommendation. It's not a financial investment recommendation I'm making. It's a survival recommendation I'm making on silver and gold. The reason I'm saying you need silver and gold is because when things fall apart, you're going to need to have a currency that people will accept in exchange for goods and services. And silver and gold are those things. As far as making money on it, I don't know what you would do with the money if you had it. I mean, what are you going to buy out there? I mean, I don't know. There's lots of practical things we can do, Agner, to support ourselves.
I think he was also happy, Darren, that it jumped up last week by $90 in a day, nearly up $100 in a day. I don't think he might have missed your point about... I think it's actually that you said it. He probably missed your point about it not being an investment as in a monetary investment, more in his future investment. Imagine the case where you have to get a wheelbarrow full of billion-dollar notes just go down and buy a loaf of bread.
Well, that's the Weimar Republic, and that is the result of monetarization. What you saw in Weimar in after World War I in Germany is exactly what monetizing a nation's debt does. And so that's what I'm looking forward to in the coming months after these crooks have got their $700 billion and run out of the country with it. and converted that money into something that they can use, like gold or whatever else, or Swiss francs, then you're going to see the printing presses really flood open, and all the debts of America are going to be paid back with dollars that have no value. And then you're going to see a Weimar experience start to take shape. Or a modern experience for Weimar would be the Zimbabwe in Africa, where $1 billion notes were used to buy a gallon of gasoline. I mean, unbelievable. But that's on the horizon. It's going to take time for it to all come to fruition. You know, America is still a very big country, Ogner. It's, you know, we've got 300 plus million people. It doesn't collapse overnight, and it doesn't, and things don't happen in a linear fashion in America. I mean, some people will do better than others. Some regions will do better than others. Some, you know, it's not going to be a linear crash. There'll be people fighting the government in some areas and other places being very compliant. You can't lump America's experience in the near future all in one basket. It's going to be a lot of different stuff happening over there. It's going to be awful. But it's coming to Europe, man. It's coming to France. I'm watching the news here tonight. Plants are closing. General Motors is closing its plant. Britain has a General Motors plant that is laying off staff. It's unbelievable that the amount of destruction going on in the European economy as well. So it's not going to be a cakewalk over here either. We're looking at a terrible, terrible future in Europe as well.
Well, I just say one thing for places like UK and France. One thing I'd instantly do is take back all their soldiers from illegal wars and save some money there. There's one. Darren, so I want to stay on the money thing. Let's talk about our famous Warren Buffett and his newest investment. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, Buffett's always been one of the puppets of Rothschild, and you know there are very famous photographs of him standing on the lawn over in Bordeaux with I don't think it's Edmund or Rothschild or one of these freaks. And this guy also, I'll give you a little background on him. He was implicated as a pedophile in John DeCamp's book, The Franklin Cover-Up. Absolutely. And so he's in up to his eyeballs with these crooks. And of course, what does he do? He ponies up some of his multi-billions to get cash, you know, to get Goldman Sachs all full of cash. Now, what would be the point of that? Over the next weeks and months, and maybe 6 months or so, before the monetization really takes effect, a lot of assets are going to come available for sale or for behind the scenes takeover. What that'll mean is that some of the crown jewels that are still left in the American nation will start getting scooped up. And Goldman Sachs will be a leader in some of the scooping because that's a Rothschild-fronted financial company, and Warren Buffett has just ponied up some of his money for the coffers. It's the same thing as Morgan Stanley is doing right now. I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well, it was something you mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago when we did an interview about this moral hazard, and I think people need to understand this. We're bailing out some bankers, which are we're also talking about Morgan Stanley, including and Buffett and whatever. These
Lehman Brothers, AIG, American International Group.
Darren, my question here is, and it's important for me, is I've been thinking about this all week. We know the Federal Reserve is a privately owned Jewish banking, seven Jewish banking families, and you had banks like Lehman Brothers and different Rothschild entities, Morgan Stanley, that are gone now, are gone to the wall, they're changed. Who is actually in possession of this privately owned central bank?
Well, companies like Lazard Frere is a Rothschild-fronted business. Companies like Goldman Sachs, which is a board member, is also a Rothschild-fronted business.
Absolutely.
Rothschild Incorporated is part of it. The Warburg fortune, of course, they're all married together with Rothschild. So the people that are running the Federal Reserve, if you get down to a man or a person, it goes back to Oppenheimer, Rothschild, and Warburg. And of course, they have the next level down henchmen of, you know, in you've got your Hollywood henchmen of Geffen and Spielberg. You've got your Canadian one of Brofman. You've got your, you know, you've got your regional guys like the Crown family in Chicago, or you know, John Kerry owning billions over in Boston. I mean, you can go and find their regional henchmen, but when you weasel your way all the way back up to the top, it's the same group of Zionist criminals again. And, you know, you've got to be careful about saying Jews. I was going to mention this on a show I was going to do Saturday. You know, a lot of Jews out there that are not part of this. And I got some friends of mine. When I went home about 4 years ago, I went to the local pub, local bar. And, of course, you know, one of my friends from growing up, he's Jewish. I mean, he doesn't have a Brooklyn accent, and he doesn't own, he's not a billionaire. In fact, he's got a regular job. His parents are regular people. You know, now they be supporting Israel by ignorance, but so do a lot of Christians support Israel out of ignorance. Absolutely. Fact of the matter is, he's not making the billions. He's not profiting from this, and he's not part of the criminal gang. Just a regular person, and in fact, very generous. If you, Ogner, if you walked into this bar and I walked into the bar, he would be buying us a beer, and that's a guarantee. And then when you tried to buy him one, he'd have bought you another one already. That's the kind of person he is. And, you know, I have similar experiences with others as well. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, all of them are bad. You know, John Kaminsky made the point on my radio show that many of the indoctrinating lessons they learned during their schooling, Hebrew schooling during their youth, is supremacist in nature. But I think any logical human being who's exposed to that, if they're given an opportunity, turns away from it.
Yeah.
So basically, who are we talking about here? We're talking about maybe a top 30% of the Jewish community is fully aware of what's happening in the crime wave. Now, that's significant. There's a lot of people I'm claiming know about this.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying there's probably another 30% that have a suspicion, but they're not really profiting from it, so they don't get involved. And then I'd say the rest of the people, the 40% that are left, they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, if you look at America, Americans don't have a clue. They're still backing Obama and McCain, and they still think it's a good idea to fight Arabs and all this other nonsense that they believe. So, you know, ignorance is pretty well distributed in this nightmare. But at the top, Zionist Jews are in charge, Ogner. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I had a bit of a chat with someone during the week. As you know, Darren, I had a pretty busy week, so I haven't been around much. And we probably should have done this show about 2 days ago, but it was my work time that got in the way. I was talking to somebody, and I said, this is a very dangerous time for Jewish people, especially in America, because the doo-doo is going to hit the fan. That we know is going to happen. And Daryl said, you know, it could be days, weeks, months. It's not going to be overnight, but it's going to happen. And I absolutely agree. I'd go even a little bit further. But people are going to look for answers, which they always do is after the fact, is go look for answers. And we have enough people out there scaring up and whipping all sorts of stuff that it's all the Jews and whatever. What I would just like to say, it isn't all the Jews, I agree with that, but I was reading in Haaretz this morning that which is one thing I've noticed, Daryl, in the last 4 years that I've been, you know, fairly as much time as I have into research, is that the Israelis, places like Haaretz, the Jerusalem Post, especially the ADL website, are far ahead of us, are further ahead than me. I'll speak for myself personally, and they're already talking about, is there another Holocaust of the Jews in America possible, which is whipping up this frenzy again? So I think a lot of people, this 30% that you mentioned, Daryl, need to get more active and join the cause and become anti-Zionist and ask some questions about, is this love of this little country in the Middle East worth all the hassle?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, that has been my hope from the beginning, that the Jewish community itself would begin to understand that their allegiance to Israel and to these criminals that have formed this this vile nation in the Middle East would begin to say, wait a minute here, what we've got in the Middle East is not a good idea. It's been a bad idea from the beginning, and I've been lied to, and now I've got to start sharing that feeling and that thought with my family members and my community. If that were to take place, we would see these people in serious trouble. And can I tell you, I believe at some level it is taking place. And there are Jews turning on these people, and there are people in the Zionist community of Christians, Zionists, that are beginning to wake up. So the Zionists and anti-Zionists are definitely finding out who each other are, and people are starting to take sides here. And I think we have a shot at, over time, at getting the truth out. Now, again, they would like to see people running around saying it's all the Jews. In fact, I think they spend money to get people to say that. Why? Because what that can do is shut us down. It's clearly hateful to say that all people are one way or all people are another. You wouldn't say that about all Italians being mafioso or all Mexicans being taco chefs or all black people being shiftless. And I mean, come on, you don't say these things because they don't ring true when you examine them as a fact. But what you can do now is, what we can say today is that the Jewish community is going to come under terrible pressure. The people who are calling for all Jews to be injured in some way need to be completely ignored, exposed as shills, or actually assaulted verbally on the internet, fought hard against, because they are going to get the ire of the government turned upon us as so-called militia or so-called hate criminals or whatever else. And I think it's by design. I think it's one of their ploys to help them stop us from spreading these facts. And it's also going to be the excuse they give for shutting down the internet access in America. And I think companies like Comcast and others are already beginning to do that, and so is YouTube. This is what I was expecting when I talked about in the beginning of August, worrying whether my website would still be up in September. Well, my website is still up, but I don't know how much longer it will be up. And the simple fact is, the kinds of actions they're taking against the internet are going to be based upon this "all Jews did it" mentality that they're trying to foster within cyberspace. Now, I certainly am anticipating within the next weeks or months to have my website challenged in the United States. I certainly don't have the funding or the wherewithal to completely shift to another server, Noel. But at the same time, I urge people to download all of my information in the event that it does take place, because I really anticipate it will at some point.
Well, Darrell, I'm planning on this weekend. I'm planning on releasing a BitTorrent of your entire website, which is enormous. It's a 7 gigabyte website. So I'm going to release that this weekend on BitTorrent, and I think that goes out as a call, as I can help you out as much as I can as we go along, is people to open up mirror sites. Call it. I find it very funny that a certain individual is holding the name DarrellBradfordSmith.com. I find that very...
Who is doing that?
I would say that could only be one individual, Huffschmidt. It has to be him. It mightn't be, but it makes sense. The name is reserved under GoDaddy's, an account he uses, a service he uses. I find that very strange that somebody would hold on to your domain name and hide it.
Well, you know, you can't buy them all, because if I bought DarrellBradfordSmith.com, then they would use DarrellBradfordSmith.net and DarrellBradfordSmith.org and DarrellBradford.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to stop anybody doing that. But
I'm just looking at there's a post on a site that we watch, Wake Up From Your Slumber, this week, but I'd already seen it somewhere else, and it was one of the people fighting on YouTube on our side. He mightn't be. I don't know how far his education has gone. But I think this guy, he knows about the Zionists. I don't know this person, so I won't. All he knows is he's noticed a tendency where certain. He called them Jewish organizations are setting up fake accounts on YouTube and then reporting all the truth tellers' videos, whether it be, you know, 9/11 truthers, the anti-Zionist movement, our own movement, the anti-Zionist movement, and they're getting the message shut down. They just get five or six people to you know, click on the complain button and have it removed. Now, I've done tests myself, and this is documented, Daryl, 2 years ago on a BitTorrent tracker, Daemonoid, which is one that I have banned me since, no big deal. But I'd uploaded about 1,000 videos and audios, and I've uploaded some of your stuff and, you know, PDF files and whatever. And every so often I get an email from the robot, and every time I got one, I posted it on Con Central forums, and they'd say hate material removed, hate material removed, and they'd remove certain torrents, usually got to do with the terrorist state of Israel or similar. So we did one day, I uploaded an Irish documentary, and I got three guys from Con Central. They pressed on the complain button and it was deleted. So the point this guy was making is YouTube do not have the personnel to look at every single video. It's an automated system, and these I would call them anti-truthers or Zionists, paid for by the Zionists to infiltrate our different movements, are just put up there. They spend all day opening up accounts. Now, for example, I've seen another one on YouTube. There's one called IamTheWitness.com. And then I go on to a site called the Jewish Internet Defense League, and one of your videos, which I know has nothing got to do with you, is under most wanted list that they want closed down. But this is an obvious, I know, Daryl, I know it's not you running that account. So if it ain't you and it ain't me and it isn't your webmaster, which I know it isn't, you know, there's somebody out there trying to give you a bad name. I noticed yesterday, I gave you a call last night, I said, I see a couple of these old stories coming out. Daryl Bradford Smith is married to a certain... and all this old rubbish is coming up. I think the poo-poo is going to definitely hit the fan real soon. And a few people that have been, you know, telling us like it is, especially yourself, Daryl, you're going to get attacked a lot more. I see on Waking From Your Somebody, this guy, this farmer guy from Canada, Masher, and he just said, you know, Daryl Bradford Smith is a liar. Backed up with zero. Nothing. You're not credible. I don't know why this guy even posts anymore. I mean, just go and say, oh, he's a liar, he's this, and they don't proven. The thing is, with the internet, you can also, I don't believe this guy, or I don't trust this guy, or I don't, and here's, you know, 15 links to 15 things that happened over the last 5 years that I like or don't like, and that's called, but just going out and making a statement, well, this guy is a liar, this goes to show how ignorant you are, and that goes out to you, Mr. Masher.
Well, you know, this guy, Masher, he was trying to browbeat me into doing something about 3 years ago. He kept sending me emails, and I could tell something was wrong with him, emotionally wrong, or psychiatrically wrong, or even maybe he's a working Zionist Jew, I don't know. But something was wrong with him, and so I ignored him, and I repeatedly ignored him. And finally, as I ignored him, I finally wrote him an email and told him, you know, to just stop sending me stuff, and that I thought he was a Looney Tune. And next thing you know, he was attacking me on Mathaba.com. He, on one thing that I did, he put 23 or 25 posts one after another.
Yeah.
He's something wrong with the guy, or he's a Zionist. The only thing I can come up with. However, you know, when Masher, this guy Masher, attacks me, I think it gives me credibility, so I welcome his attacks. I think it's great. Same thing now when I look at this vile AIDS poster boy, Hufschmidt. when he attacks me, this is good press for me, actually. Because anybody who's looked at his stuff over the last 6 months and looked at his lunacy and listened to his files and stuff knows the guy is crackers, and knows that if he's attacking me, I'm getting more credibility, not less. So you know, you can be upset about some stuff. Now, like some somebody's out there saying that my wife is black.
Yeah.
And now,
they
I got to say, Honor, you know, the fact is she's not. But it wouldn't matter whether she were or not to me. I've said this on other shows that I've done. You know, if I love somebody, I don't care what color skin they have, or even if they have skin. If I love them, I love them. But, you know, my wife doesn't happen to be black. But somebody can put that on a website with impunity.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I wouldn't even justify it.
He's a government shill. Bill White, he's a government shill. I mean, the guy has no credibility anyway. Someone pointed, I did see that yesterday. But what annoys me, Daryl, is, you know, we really, really don't have time for this nonsense. If people don't see what's going on financially, a lot of people, you know, America, the problems they have, you know, we have these politicians. Now, another thing I looked into was, you know, how can they get all the politicians, you know, in on the scam? But, you know, for example, a small scam that the politicians have up in that state of Israel, sorry, Washington, D.C., is they all get free car, free insurance, free petrol. And I'm just wondering if they, you know, if that's a small thing to get. What else do they get? No wonder they're buying into whatever they're told to vote on.
Well, no, there's a lot more pressure being put on these people than just that.
I'm just saying that's a sucker. These are the minimum perks of the job.
No, I think it's even more sinister. I think these people have been groomed for the positions they're in, and I think early on in their career it was determined whether they had something they had had done, either embezzlement or cheating on their wives, or, you know, or some other kind of picadillo, something sick even. And then, you know, once that's known to the powers that be, that person's chances of going up, if he plays along with them, grow exponentially as he stays in his office. If it's the Congress, if he's a two-term, three-term, five-term congressman, as he gets more seniority, the value for the crux of this man becomes, or woman becomes, more important. But no, I you know, the perks are certainly an important element in there, but I believe a lot of the people are acting under duress as a result of things they've done in the past, and some of the profiting they've done on the backs of the American taxpayer. Look, America is, as you had mentioned in the beginning, it's not going to emerge from this with any resemblance to what it once was. But then again, I'm glad that's true, because America certainly is not anything to be proud of right now. So we wouldn't want it to look like it is right now. We want it to be something vastly different and very different than what it is today. So I'm hoping that the American people begin to take seriously how bad it really is, and start to do a rethink of the entire system. And I mean, that may take force of arms, as President Jefferson so pointedly stated. You know, he said that the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of patriots, and that may end up becoming the fact as we go forward here. I'm certainly not calling on people to go run out and start firing the guns or anything, but you know, guessing on a future for America, this is certainly one of the possible futures. And I must say, you know, amen to the people wanting to change things in America, but certainly not by calling all Jews guilty, and certainly not by saying they're going to shoot Jews on sight and the rest of this other nonsense that's going on.
I think that's a very important point. That I'm definitely not all the efforts I've made over the last few years to go after individual Jews and all Jews. That's absolutely, I see that as a tactic to be used against us. I agree with you on that, Darren. That's a tactic you're going to use again. Because one thing people have to take into consideration, these people have the power, they have the money, they have a lot of control. They don't control me. I'll speak for myself. I mean, I'll do and say what I want. But these people know that there are people like Daryl Bradford Smith out there. Someone I like is Michael Piper. There are some other good researchers out there, you know, all working, you know, independently against the criminal network. But we have to take into consideration these people know you exist, and they're going to fight you with chills and paid agents. I mean, they have people that work for them. You said, no, they're getting paid. It's their job is to infiltrate. And I think there's a lot more going to come down in the next few weeks. Daryl, when are we going to see some runs on? I want to see some runs on banks on Fox News and scare these people into giving some real news, which I don't think can happen anyway because it's a Zionist run TV station out of the White House, out of Israel.
Well, you know, there have already been some runs on banks, is my guess. But if you could say, look. You know, there could be a hurricane coming, and the TV reporter can say it's sunny and warm. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of things happen if they're not going to say what's happening. The majority of the robots, fluorinated robots in America, are just going to go, oh, everything's fine, honey. You know, because they're going to get their information from the idiot box. Fact is. The banking system has already come under tremendous pressure by people trying to extract their funds. The same is true with pension funds. People are trying desperately to convert their pension funds into cash or into a certificate of documented pension funds with their transfer agent getting there, which is what I recommend, that you go and get every single share that you own in your pension fund. You've got the documentation of ownership coming from a transfer agent, meaning that you own the shares in the companies that it says. But the fact is, it's already happening in Europe as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. So by Christmas time, Agner, it's just going to get more of the same. And by Christmas, when the retail environment is so dismal and so bad, this whole world is just going to turn into a funk like nobody can even imagine. I mean, it's going to translate into things that I can only guess at. You know, interesting, I was guessing at the movement of all these derivative hedge funds and the rest of it a year ago. You know, my background in studying finance and being a very aggressive investor during the 90s and trying to understand these facts and actually presenting it to others during the 90s as someone who understood these facts, I put that together with what I know about who the criminals are, and I read everything I could find on the back pages of everything, and I pretty much nailed what was coming because a lot of the things you needed to know about were being reported. It just wasn't on the front page. You know, when a hedge fund went bad or when somebody didn't pay their coupon payment or whatever, it was reported. And the amount of money that wasn't paid was also reported. So I just read the tea leaves pretty clearly. Now, if I'm giving you that same kind of take on the future here, I go back to monetizing our country's debt is going to be in line. It's going to be hyperinflation. Europe is not going to want to get stuck with this kind of scenario, so they've got to print money as well. The Asians are printing money. The Chinese have already said don't lend any more money from any banks in China to America. What you've got coming here is a calamity that not a single human being alive today has ever seen before. There's not a person on our planet old enough to have seen anything of this kind. This is worse in what it portends than the 1930s, and that is very clear. I'm telling everybody right now that because so few people know how desperate this really is, you still have a chance to get the extra flour, bags of flour you need, get the extra cooking oil you need, get the extra gas in some gas can that you need, find a generator if that's what you are going to need, get seeds, find a plot of land, get a good shotgun and plenty of shells for it, get a German Shepherd, get some fencing and put it up around your yard. All of these things can be done now because you've got some weeks to do it. I would do it as though my life depended on it, because frankly, I believe it does. And you asked me a question before we started today about hedge funds. And
Darren, listen, you know, we talk a couple of times a week. I read, you read some of the same things I read. I follow links, and you know, I listen, I watch. I've been fairly quiet in the last 2 weeks. Haven't done any shows. I've actually bought some gold and I bought some silver. I didn't buy them as an investment in monetary investment. I have I got a little piece of both for the what if case. That somebody I've been listening to, like yourself, Darren Bradford Smith of MindTheWitness.com, for the last several years, I won't say I've been listening to you since you started on about the financial. I've been following you, you know, a couple of years, 3 years before that. We have this small little thing of the subprime, which is an outright crime. I mean, to give people free money basically that they could never pay back, and then you know we find ourselves in this situation. Now what I'd like to know is, Darren, if you can explain to the audience, what are these hedge funds, what are these, you know, fund of funds and all of this, and where do you've spoken many times about the derivatives, what part do these hedge funds play in that, and who owns these hedge funds? Who are we talking about, the same criminals? I know a lot of people own parts of hedge funds. What is a hedge fund, and tell us about it.
Well, you know, it's a fund that can go long or short the market, or long and short a package of investments, and kind of betting on movement within a marketplace or a particular sector. Or let's say you've got a hedge fund specific for mining. You would go out and search out certain investments within the mining field, and either go long or short them and try to what we call arbitrage positions within the fund to extract money. And of course, everybody who signs up for a hedge fund has to pay a loading and unloading fee for it, so you're making money from that. And they've been very popular because during the unregulated late 90s and into the 2006-07 period, these funds were almost unregulated. I mean, you could get away with all kinds of shenanigans and underhanded reporting and sleight of hand transactions that weren't really considered above board. One of the things everybody's been hearing about lately is naked short selling. Now, a lot of these funds have been set up in organizations that have access to shares that are in the name of a broker, not in the name of a transfer agent that goes to the owner. In other words, if you buy something in the marketplace on margin, let's say you buy General Motors and you buy it with a 20% down, so you get 5 shares for your $1. You get 5-to-1 ratio. What happens is, because you don't own those shares, they're held in trust in your name temporarily with the broker. The broker can then turn around and use those shares as a short. They can go out and lend them to someone else. So basically, two parties are using the same shares on their books. You've got them, and the short seller's got them. But then it gets sinister. Then it comes down to these organizations have actually been loaning out shares that don't exist. Basically saying, okay, I've got 100,000 shares in my brokerage firm for General Motors, but I'm actually on the books as having 140,000 shares. I've created 40,000 shares of General Motors out of nothing, and I've lent them out to short sellers in the marketplace because, frankly, nobody really knows how many General Motors shares I've got. Now, that's exactly what the goldsmiths used to do with gold.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, back in Venice and during the Middle Ages, they would have everybody's gold at a central vault, and they said, well, you know, if I've only got 10,000 ounces of gold, how do people know that I've only got 10,000? I'm going to say I've got 100,000.
They're honest. They must have been very honest. How can I say?
Well, what happened is these hedge funds have acted the same way, and they've kind of multiplied the force of these shares that they're holding in trust on margined accounts and actually created shares that don't exist and then gone out and attacked companies' share price in order to get a movement in their price, whatever direction they're interested in moving the market. Now, they've stopped hedge fund short selling for financial markets right now because of the damage it does. But isn't it interesting, the criminals themselves, the companies they work for are the ones who won't allow you to short their products, but you can go out and short anybody else.
It's
hypocrisy at a level you have never seen before. But hedge funds, again, you know, the aim of a hedge fund is supposedly to reduce risk. But in fact, it's not. The instruments are very varied and very duplicitous in what they can do and who runs them and what they're used for. They can be arbitrage instruments, they can be risk-reducing instruments, or they can just be flat-out fraudulent instruments. But they're in the hundreds of billions of dollars traded daily, and many of the derivative packages that are out there are being managed through hedge funds, which derivatives are off-balance sheet account instruments. In other words, they're not even reported to the tax authorities and to the government.
But isn't it quite amazing that, you know, all this paper profits, and you have all these fat cat bankers, that must be one of the best professions we can have now, Daryl, is be a merchant banker in the States. You know you're going to get laid off, early retirement, and get millions of dollars for your crimes.
Well, it might be a mixture of just crooked greed or hush money. They might be saying, all right, here, Solomon Brothers, here's a $200 million golden parachute for the CEO because he knows too much. So go and have a life and shut your mouth and go spend your money. And thank you very much, you know?
Yeah. Daryl, listen, we're heading on the hour. A couple of quick little change of subjects. What do you read into Pakistan, the bombing in Pakistan? The recent bombing in the Marriott Hotel.
Well, first of all, you know, the Americans still hold sway over there through their clandestine arrangements in Pakistani military. I don't think the Pakistani government could trust any of their military men to be loyal. I mean, they've been working with the CIA and the NSA and the MI6 and the Mossad for so long. How could you possibly trust a general or anybody else? The other thing is, they're not interested in the truth. They're still saying Al-Qaeda is blowing up bombs and Al-Qaeda this and Al-Qaeda that. So you can tell the government hasn't had a change of heart. They know darn well that Al-Qaeda is a fabrication. So as long as they continue the lying and stuff, it's a fabrication. What I'm probably looking at is a flashpoint here, a wag-the-dog diversion of some sort. You know, they wanted to get Iran going, and they still might do that, and in Pakistan as well. And they might just want a conflagration to come in that region so that when America emerges in 10 years, so will the area that goes into this big mess. You know, they didn't just have the 1930s implosion and the Depression. They planned on World War II during that time.
Absolutely.
So what you need to know is that these people have multifaceted, multi-pronged assaults on peoples and societies. So it's not just one set of plans. It's many things they've got in the works. They've got many crimes and many murders and many genocides still waiting to happen. And I think the biggest ones are going to come from ill health and starvation as a result of poverty spreading globally. So hang on to your hats. You know, the Pan-African audience that has been tuning into my broadcasts are not going to be immune to this. However, because many of the people in Africa still live rurally, I recommend they stay away from OGM foods thoroughly and completely and get cracking on having their own garden and make sure that they go back to the land, because the farther you are from the land, the harder it is going to be for you to survive.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about this spice tamara, an Indian spice used in curry? Apparently it's a wonder spice.
No, but if you get some, send it over. I will give it a go.
Well, I came across that today. The Gallup poll, you see them up on, I was watching it tonight on CNN. Do we know anything about this outfit? No, these
statistics. Yeah, the Gallup organization's been in the pocket of these criminals for a long time, and you know, it's no different than these news agencies. You know, everybody thinks that Agence France-Presse or the UPI or, you know, some of the Reuters. are telling you the facts. What they're basically doing is giving you filtered versions of adulterated truth.
It's very
and these polls, what they'll do is they'll go out and they'll ask questions and manufacture results by asking questions in a way that will give them the response they're looking for. You know, somebody once said there are lies, there are damned lies, and then there are statistics. Well, that's the same thing going on with these polling places, these polling results. You know, there are lies, damn lies, and polling results. You know,
yeah.
You can't trust it.
Well,
it's not trustworthy.
It's interesting, Daryl, in next year, 2009, that a lot of these companies that you mentioned, Reuters, AFP, etc., are losing contracts with independent newspapers. They're not prepared to take. That's very encouraging that some, you know, local newspapers, I'm not saying, you know, every newspaper is a Zionist owned, or a lot of people putting out news in newspapers, and they've decided in mass, and it's a growing movement in the States at least. I haven't heard too much about it in Europe, that they're pulling their official feeds from the three sources. They'd rather do their own, because no one seems to be doing any investigations anymore. They send down a story, you know, bomb went off here, bank crashed here, and you know, it's not really double checked anymore.
Well, I'm not sure the reason why they're quitting. Are they quitting because they can't afford to pay Reuters for the stories? And in fact, are they in such bad financial positions that they can no longer get Newswire stories? And so the end result, maybe within 2 or 3 months, is that they go bankrupt and they're not even in existence anymore. Or are they in fact finding out the truth and not trusting these agencies anymore? I don't know. But in either sense, you know, the fact that UPI and Reuters are not being picked up is in some sense a good news, but it doesn't seem to make any difference as long as the American public are retarded by drugs and Prozac and the fluoride in the water and you know, the aluminums that are coming into their diet through every means that you can possibly imagine. The fact is, Ogner, the Americans are toast by and large. Now, that means the country is, but that doesn't mean every American is going to roll over for this. I still have hope that there are going to be a lot of people out there like myself that are not accepting this, and they're going to take as much action as is necessary to safeguard their world. And I'm hoping the same for Europe. Now, whether or not that happens remains to be seen.
Yeah. Daryl, listen, push past an hour. I have some other responsibilities. I need to go walking with my dogs and stuff on a long day. I'd like to thank you for coming on. Daryl, we'll do this again. This financial thing, listen, I have a bunch of other questions. I wanted to get into the car loans and student loans and Rothschild selling, Edmund the Rothschild selling 20% of his private operation to the Chinese. And this stuff we could go on about. I've been specific. Not very quiet. I've been reading a lot. Daryl, you've told the story already. I've sent it to you personally on a phone call. You've already told the story, and we're just getting a little bit more detail. The writing is on the wall, and we need to unite. And you know, a lot of people need to go into your archives. IamTheWitness.com. Go into the audio archives. Go out, listen to some of the scholars that have been on there. Long list of people.
Well, what I'm going to do, Ogner, is going to ask my webmaster to put up the Archibald Mal Ramsey's book at the top of the site again.
Yeah.
And there's another YouTube video I want my webmaster to put up as well, called Prisoners of the Desert. It's an interview I did with James Innes. It's had 289,000 downloads, and I think it should be seen by new listeners to The French Connection, or rewatched or re-examined by people who haven't seen it for a while. So maybe we can get my webmaster to put up Prisoner of the Desert from YouTube. And we can have a couple of rotating things up there. I think that's the next thing I'm going to try to do.
Well, we, the guy in our forums, used to put up all my audios onto YouTube. We put a video behind it. And I'd encourage people to grab parts of... I'd like to make a little disclaimer, Daryl. I'd like to make a little disclaimer, not particularly concerning you, but concerning... This is probably show number 100 for me. It's probably about 100, maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less, but about 100. And my audio audios are free to distribute anywhere you want, except I put one little disclaimer. If you're going to use my voice in some sort of documentary, I want to know about it. I want people putting, like they did with Latin American View, and all of a sudden within a day he was out of the movement. He got kind of suckered in. So I'd hate someone to use my voice to try sell some, like to get all the Jews or something like that. So I'm putting that disclaimer up. Freely distribute any audios that I've made, about 100. You'll find them on my forums, www.theinfounderground.com/forum. Sign up, say hello, you can download. You don't need to sign up to read, you can come and read. But that's a little disclaimer I put out. I would not like to be associated maybe with some future projects that I mightn't personally agree with.
Well, that's good advice, and I feel the same way. I do encourage people to fight. I mean, I'm doing my best. I'm one guy over here, Ogner, and I've talked to you about struggling. My wife and I, we struggle at my home here. It's not an easy slog here, and every month that passes, I'm not far away from any of the suffering that's going on already in many parts of this world. And I urge everybody to take advantage of this time they've got to get going on preparing. And if you've got an extra euro or an extra dollar or an extra Australian dollar, stick it in the PayPal and ship it out to me. I could surely use it. It keeps me on the air. It keeps me going. Mm-hmm. The people who've donated over the last months, it goes to bandwidth, it goes to my website, it goes to phone calls to India that I've made, phone calls to, by the way, this when I call you in Switzerland, we're not covered under my calling plan to Switzerland doesn't exist.
And
I get an extra charge for all my Swiss calls, and any of my calls I make to South Africa are not under my package. They don't have a special deal to South Africa. So my phone bill, I got a very good phone bill right now, and then all of a sudden I get all of the extra charges for the calls I make to places outside my package. So that being said, I appreciate you having me on, Ogner. It was an interesting hour of conversation, my friend.
It's ongoing. I'd just like to say, I did an interview with Israel Shamir about a month ago, and it cost me 42 Swiss francs. It topped up on my Skype. So just what Dara was saying, that these calls when you're outside of a package do cost you. Now, I learned afterwards I should have got the world package at $14, and I didn't know about it. But when I was doing the show, I got two notifications that I was, 20 franc credit onto Skype, because it does it automatically. So these calls do cost. Donate if you can. Spread the word. Get the information. I put up links. Link back to I Am The Witness, my own forums, theinfounderground.com. We need to concentrate really on the facts here. Don't get sidetracked on whether Daryl is married to a black lady or not. This is a side issue. It means nothing. I don't believe it. It's not true anyway. We need to these guys, this criminal Zionist network, this banking network, are getting bailed out at the moment, and I don't see anything on the controlled media. So we need people in the alternative movement to start posting some real information about what's really going on. All these foreclosures, how come I've seen, Daryl, you tell me 100, 200,000 foreclosures in the States, and I've seen three people on television, I couldn't pay, so I just moved out. I'm not seeing this Zionist-owned world media TV channel showing too much. They're trying to put a plaster on it, this famous proverbial lipstick on a pig's bum, and they're hiding it. We need more people to tell us what's going on. Join the movements. Get away from the television. There's lots and lots of forums out there that are working hard. Not that I don't trust every forum, but there are good people out there. We need to network a little bit better. Get rid of the name calling and going after particular groups or general groups, and concentrate on what we have, what's provable. This banking scam is provable, and the FBI are looking into a couple of cases.
I don't trust the FBI for one second. That's the biggest mafia in America.
FBI, formed in 1913, like the Federal Reserve Bank, the IRS, and the ADL of B'nai B'rith, 1913. Daryl, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on. I'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you again.
And that was a little interview with Daryl Bradford, Switchmind, The Witness. I didn't feel like doing it, and Daryl wanted me to do an interview last year that I just didn't have the energy, but I'm glad I did. I do actually work, and I'm fairly busy. Interesting seeing a client today, a couple of guys, young guys that run a hedge fund, and see some people or some clients remove money to cover some short selling and whatever. There, people are running for exits here. I think we need to keep our eye on these criminals. The whole banking system has been a mockery since Wilson sold out America and sold out the rest of the world. But we can go back before that, Bank of England, you'll find Rothschild. It's always the same criminal. Anyway, talk to you very soon. You can get me on the forums, theinfounderground.com, and I'll leave you with the end of the world as we know it. What can I say?